Ladies and gentlemen, the person you see there with a beard and missing a tooth, you're never going to put that tooth in, are you?
It's not on the list.
You consider it part of your image?
No, I've moved to that. I'm now a guy with a beard and missing a tooth.
Okay. Well, you know, you see this tooth here I got? This little boy that hangs out all by himself.
Nice.
See that? I'm having that removed.
Are they going to put something else there?
No. Here's what happened. This tooth has been there ever since I was a kid. My parents were told, he doesn't need braces. Just have him pull on that tooth and it'll, you know.
Right.
Anyway, I grew up with that. You know, with that bad, that bad-looking bottom set of teeth. So as time has gone on, the two teeth. See how I disappear? See, that's the trouble with the. Here, I'll just hold it. The two teeth behind it have grown closer and closer together to where they're now together.
That's weird.
So if they pull that, it won't change my dentalization, as it were.
It won't
change the way in which I speak.
Right. My voice has gotten weird because of the missing tooth. It rambles a bit. It's weird.
Well, you're
at least it sounds weird to me.
Well, because you're not able to dentalize the same way you
used. Right.
That's why you probably should get it filled in.
Yeah.
Come on, they put in a nice implant.
$3,000 tooth in my mouth?
Yeah, well, you know.
I'd rather have them all taken out and then have dentures.
Well, today they could do that. You know, what they do is they just put in a couple of implant things, and then they make you a whole row of teeth, and then they just click them in. That's it.
Sounds great.
It's terrific. Doesn't affect in any way. You know, I can't tell which ones are my implants now and which aren't. Yeah. So, what are you looking at?
Well, I got Bigfoot's tooth here, or foot here, his toe, and I found some glitter on it. I don't know why.
Wait. Bigfoot's toe? That's not Bigfoot's toe.
Yeah, well, that's what it said when I ordered it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. $37.
You paid $37 for what, allegedly?
It looks like Bigfoot's toe.
Looks like you're giving me a big finger.
But I saw the glitter caught my eye from a distance, and I'm wondering how. Bigfoot got glitter on his toe.
So you're in Nevada.
I am.
And do you have the air conditioning on today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the air conditioner
on. Four air conditioners.
You have four?
Two commercial and two room ones.
Well, commercial is what? I don't know about what commercial is.
Big commercial air conditioners for like a building.
A building.
I got a lot of room.
Yeah, but I can't have a heavy one in this room because if you turn on the coffee maker, I blow a fuse, not up here, downstairs in the basement.
Oh.
So I try to balance everything out, you know. So, like, I'll turn this off when I leave here because I might want to make coffee later.
We have a microwave issue like that.
Oh, microwaves are the worst.
Yeah.
So how's your electric bill?
Oh, you know, ugly. Ugly, I would describe it.
Ugly? Oh, okay.
Ugly, you know, it's
okay.
You know, it's a very expensive car payment.
So you are in Fallon.
Right. I'm about 50 miles from Reno.
50 miles from Reno. Named after Jimmy Fallon, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how hot is it there today?
I think it's 95.
Really? Well, we're beating you right now. We're at 98.
Yeah.
It has
but,
been.
Yeah, but what will it be at 10 o'clock your time?
I don't know, but it could hit 100. But
no, it'll be 90 or 80 at 11 o'clock. It doesn't go down.
Oh, last night it was like about 79, I think.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I got the air conditioner going, and of course that costs us a lot of money. Our bill goes up to about $600 a month once
we use it. That's about what we got going here.
Really? You would think it would just be cheaper where you are, you know?
Yeah, you would. But no, everything's expensive now.
So anyway, you got a guy missing a tooth and one with a snaggle tooth here today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me so much.
Well, you know. It makes you look like you voted for Trump.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I did once. I did once. I thought it was a good idea.
For president?
The first time he ran, I thought, maybe this guy can mix things up. And I wasn't really paying attention.
God, are you? Can I say this? You're a moron.
Yeah, no. I completely made a mistake. And I voted for the wrong reason. And
here's the reason why you don't vote for him, okay? The concept is, hey, if you hire a businessman, he'll really know how to run this country. Wrong.
Right.
To begin with, he was never a good businessman.
Right. When I started looking into how he never graduated from anything and he paid for all of his stuff, then I'm like, oh, I made a mistake here. This guy's going to be an idiot. And, hey, guess what? He's an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, a complete idiot, and self-obsessed, you know, thinks he's right all the time.
He's never been wrong.
Well, you know where he gets that from, is
Dad.
Is Cohn. No.
No?
What do you call it? Cohn. What's his name? First name. Oh, God.
Cohn?
You know, the guy who worked for
I don't know.
Oh, boy. You know, the guy who held the House Un-American Activities Subcommittee, or not not House Un-American, Army hearings. You know, the one that Murrow took down.
I can't think of his name.
McCarthy. McCarthy?
Everybody's going, you morons, his name is...
I know, I'm out of it today. Why can't I remember?
The House Un-Selected... I can see the guy.
But Roy Cohn was his assistant,
right.
Okay? And Roy Cohn became the, what could we call it, the mentor to Trump. And Roy Cohn had the series of things he said that you should never do, like never admit you're wrong.
How do you... I'm wrong all the time.
Never admit you're wrong. If somebody comes after you, sue them. Okay?
Yeah.
All the things that Trump does today, he learned from Roy Cohn.
Oh.
Roy Cohn, to me, was the most evil human being on the planet. He was responsible for the death of the Rosenbergs back years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a real asshole. And I met the guy.
Really?
I went on a radio show here in town. They invited me on to debate Roy Cohn.
Oh, wow.
So he's sitting right next to me here. Remember, he was on the right-hand side. That's how much I remember it. And he was... I described it as, I've never seen the devil... But I imagine if I looked into his eyes, they'd be Roy Cohn's.
Wow.
I mean, you looked into his face, and he was evil. And he was the mentor to Donald Trump. So go take
it. Yeah, it's all going to get better.
You ever hear...
So is he dead now, too?
Oh, yeah. He died of AIDS. They made a...
Oh, that's right.
They made a play about him called Angels in America.
That's right. Yeah. I remember this now.
Yeah. And he died of AIDS in spite of the fact that he would never admit he was gay.
Gay. Yeah.
Although he's about as gay as you can get. How is as gay as you can get?
I don't know.
You take two penises up there?
At once?
At once?
I don't know. I will say this, though. Best parade I ever attended... San Francisco Gay Freedom Day Parade. That Pride Parade is one hell of a party.
Well, was that the one they did down in
Market Street?
In Market Street. Oh, Market Street.
All the way down Market.
But isn't there this one they do where they all wear assless chaps? Is that it?
The one on Folsom Street. That's a Folsom Street Fair.
Yes.
Also a big party.
Well, I don't want to sound. I don't think I'm homophobic. You know, I've never been homophobic, but I really don't want to see a guy in assless chaps. I mean, even if I were gay, that wouldn't turn me on.
You remember the day we laid on your bed and watched gay porn for about 4 hours?
Did we?
Yeah, well, I could. And then the next day we came in and we're like we couldn't. We didn't talk about it afterwards, but when we got to work, I guess it was, and we started discussing it, and we.
Oh, because I had 4 hours. I had to spend time talking about stuff.
Right. And it was a discussion mostly of you and I on the bed, uncomfortably watching hardcore gay porn for 4 hours. Is what it was.
I don't remember it, but if you say it's true, I believe.
No, we definitely did it.
Yeah. Why did we do it? We just wanted to experience it. Was
because
that
because we never? Neither of us had never sat down and honestly. Watched gay porn before, so we thought, okay, let's do this.
I had gone to a gay porn film with Al Goldstein years
there
ago.
There you go.
And Al wrote a review of the movie and said, Alex Bennett went with me and kept touching my crotch through the entire thing. You know.
Nice.
And I went, thanks, Al. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's fine. It's, you know, it's what it is.
Yeah.
Some people like it, some people don't.
So
the
worst part is we were laying on
really
a bed. We were
out by it.
The worst part was we were lying on a bed watching it.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, because we kept looking at each other going, I'm not feeling uncomfortable, are you?
Like, no,
but, you know, hey.
No, but I seem to remember we wanted to watch it because we had never seen it before.
Right. That was the whole purpose.
And I had seen gay porn before, however.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh, here you go. I got something else here.
What's this?
You can see this clearly.
Ant sauce?
Yeah, they kill 300 ants and they put them in this bottle and with other stuff. It's a little salty. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I learned. Ants are a little salty if you put them in a bottle.
Do you spend your whole life looking for crap like that?
I don't anymore because it's gone on for so long. I don't have to. It just comes to me. I just sit here and there's another stupid thing in the mail or somebody calls or... something happened.
I know there are people out there watching this going, and this guy's your friend?
Yeah. No, I got issues, but real ants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was cheap. I mean, it was a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I always
than
like to say that your big hobby was collecting serial killers.
Yeah.
You knew famous serial killers.
I think I knew all the big ones. It would be the way to describe it.
Well, first of all, you knew the guy down from L.A., the Night Stalker.
Right, the Night Stalker.
Yeah.
Richard Ramirez.
Yeah. Is he still alive or is he dead?
Huh? He died of natural causes at age 50 in San Quentin. Who believes that? Not me.
Not me, no.
No. And to be honest with you, really nice guy, but...
Wait a minute. You can say really nice guy, but considering what he did for a hobby.
He had problems based on his environment and growing up. The way he grew up led him into that. Not so much, I mean, if I ran into him on the street, I would not be scared at all.
By the way, folks, you're hearing this from a guy who voted for Trump. Go ahead. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, one time I made a mistake. At least I admit it. And, you know, nice guy. Very friendly. He sent me some really nice Calvin and Hobbes artwork, where Calvin and Hobbes are knifing each other. But, you know, I liked the guy, but I wasn't there when he was... Yeah, it makes you want to go back to when he was being bad Ramirez and try to help him, you know?
You want...
Because you can see the structure in this guy. He goes... Because he would say to me things like, Chuck, if I don't mule in drugs for people, they're gonna hurt me in here. And I go, dude, you got to stop doing that. You can't do it. And literally the next time I saw him... He was behind glass, and they busted out four of his teeth because he said no. Because he got a lot of visitors.
Oh, boy.
So that's not good.
No.
How is he getting better?
Well, apparently you couldn't change him. But I'm sure there was some woman in his life who went, I can change him.
No, I met her. I met her. She was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's always a few of those in there. You know, it's not. Like
and
I said,
you knew my guy.
I knew your guy.
My guy, who I used to have as a guest on the show.
Yeah, Gene Carter.
I mean, he didn't come to the studio.
He was busy.
He was busy. Yeah, yeah. But you know, Dean Carter became a regular on the show.
All those guys.
Well, he used to write a column for us on our website. Called Dead Man Talking.
Right.
And he used to talk about what it was like to be on death row. We told him never to say, hey, I'm not guilty, or to try and make your case or whatever, because we don't want that kind of heat, okay?
Right, and right. He would never say that he did anything wrong.
No. No. And what he did is in the first column he wrote, he said, before anybody asks any questions, let me just say I'm innocent. And then he said, but I'm on death row, and let me tell you what it's like here. And from then on, he never proclaimed his innocence. There goes my hand.
Yeah.
See the spirit? Anyway, I'll just keep my hands down here.
Yeah, he interesting guy, you know.
Yeah. He was a fascinating guy, and we went out to see him on one occasion, Lori and I.
I went out many times.
Yeah, well, I remember Lori going out, and here's what happened. I went out wearing jeans.
Yeah, you can't do that.
They said, you can't wear jeans. You got to wear these fake pants.
Yeah.
So I had to put these white pants over me, and somebody had put a lipstick mark on the crotch.
They did.
So I had to do that. She shows up wearing a sausage casing for a dress.
Of course she does. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't stop her. All the guards are looking at her. All the people in the prison are looking at her.
You did a media visit. See, I went in with the regular folks. So I'm hanging out with, you know, the rest of the dates there for the day.
The dates?
Yeah. Everybody's over in a corner trying to get a hand job.
Well, I only met Dean that once.
Oh, wow.
You know? I only met him once. And that was when we were all in this room. They were doing a show for us, okay? They had him all chained up and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they chain him up for you?
Not at all.
See, for us, they had him
chained up. I'm in a visiting room like you're at a daycare facility.
We were in a cell. They created a cell that was also a meeting room. So we sat there with him on the other side, chained, with the waist chains and everything like that. Yeah. And I'm going, why they do that? Did they do that to make us, you know, to impress us? And he said, yeah. He said, they don't normally do this to me.
You know? Right. They think he's going to freak out.
I'll tell you the best part about the story with Dean is I had him on, right? And he used to call me like once a week at home, and I would accept his calls, and we would talk. Okay, so it was a big deal. Where was I going with this? So he would call me once a week, and I got to kind of know him. And one day, my girlfriend at the time. Xanthi, you may remember her,
oh, yeah,
said, aren't you in the least bit interested in what he did? And I said,
like, no, we know what he did.
No, I didn't know what he did. He never said what he did. And I told her.
Red Book.
No, wait a minute. Let me finish. I said, I don't want to know because that would change my relationship to him.
Okay.
So she said, oh, come on. There's a library right over there. Let's go to the library, see if we can find it. So we put in his name and it immediately comes
boom
up. Red Book magazine.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the article. Something, A Kiss for My Killer, I think.
Yeah. Kiss for My Killer. That's a story.
Yeah. And so we went and I started reading it. It turns out this guy has been charged with how many? I think 6 murders?
Yeah, they convicted him of 4, I think.
Well, of 4, but they left 2 in abeyance, so in case he ever got out of the other 4,
yeah,
they could get him on the other 2. Okay.
They caught him wearing one of the women's sweaters and driving her car in Arizona.
Yeah. So I read this whole thing, and now I'm horrified.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't you?
Well, you know, when you're going to visit a death row,
you kill one person, you kill one person, it could be an accident. You know?
Yeah.
You kill
two people.
I think
you freaked out.
You kill 2 people, maybe you're just cranky. 6 people, I'm sorry, you know.
Well, he just kept going south from Alaska.
Well, actually, he did 4, I think, in one day.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just was horrified. So now comes the weekend, and he calls me, and I turn down his call.
Oh, man.
I don't know what to say to him. You know, all of a sudden, I know what this guy did.
Well, he's calling you from death row. There's a good chance he wasn't stealing
candy.
Oh,
no. He said, I'm not in here for parking tickets is how he used to put it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to know what he did. But once I knew, I didn't take the call. And then finally, about a week later, he called again. And I took the call. And I said, he said, hi. And I said, listen, I got to tell you something. I said, I feel guilty about it. But I went to a library and I looked you up. I said, because my girlfriend wanted me to look you
right
up. So if you're mad at anybody, murder her. No. I said, and I read this whole article. And when you called the last time, I was petrified. He says, I have that effect on people.
No kidding.
Yeah, he says, I have that effect on people.
And he's a big guy. He's not a small human being.
And then again, I decided that I would keep talking to him and so on.
Yeah.
I kept talking to him until I left California, I think, for New York, and then I lost touch with him.
Yeah.
But I felt very guilty about that because I said, I have only known you as the person I talk to every week, and I have very interesting discussions with him. He used
right
to be, he was a videographer for CNN at one point.
Yeah.
You know? And so we'd talk about that because I was interested in video and I felt guilty about it. I really felt guilty about it. So anyway, he's still there, still on death row.
Yeah, but now he's got that California thing. So they've suspended all the
death row. Yeah, all the executions. Let me see. Oh, we got about a minute left here.
You know what?
Is there anything we haven't talked about yet?
No, well, the thing we were going to talk about, but we can't start now, so we'll have to do it next time. Televangelists were going to be our topic.
Oh, yes, we were going to talk about You have it written down?
Wrote it down.
Oh, wow. Okay, next time. Remind me when we start.
I've got
off
them all written here, so I will not forget this.
We're not coming. Yeah, we're not going to.
Big coming.
We're not going to talk about anything except
No, we got stuff right here on the paper.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about why you hated Wired again.
Well, it was the worst. It was the worst special.
I thought it was great.
In the history of television.
And it was
I include in that the Star Wars holiday special.
It was worse than that.
Anyway, hey, listen, my friend, thank you so much.
Buddy.
And we'll
anytime.
We'll talk to you soon. Ladies
yes,
and gentlemen, That's
see you later, pal.
Chuck Farnham.
Now, in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Okay. Let me see here. There we go. Here's me. We only got one person waiting right now, and it's Jeff. And Jeff doesn't really talk that much. So if I don't see anybody here in a couple of minutes, and no disrespect to Jeffrey, we'll have to, call it quits. Because I'm not going to do a show if I don't have any callers. What the hell? If you don't care, I don't care. Anyway. But we'll wait a couple of minutes first of all. Let's see here. Is there anything to talk about? The president has some medical issues. None of which are the ones we suspected, which is that he's just batshit crazy. But he's got some problem where his veins have trouble pumping blood up to the rest of his body from his feet. They say it's very common, no big deal. Okay. But it's kind of a big deal of sorts, But anyway, I'll bring whoever we've got in here now. There we go. There they go. There's Jeff and there's Josh Wheeler. Hi guys, how are you?
No big deal.
Hello.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for both of you calling, since no one else is calling.
Bring whoever we've got in.
I was a little behind today.
Wait a minute. You got a problem there, Jeff.
Jeff, and there's Josh Wheeler.
Is here? You see that?
Hi guys,
Jeff?
How are you?
Jeff,
doing good.
Yeah.
No, you're not doing good.
For both of you calling, since no one else is calling.
Your audio is coming through. There you go. You got it. Okay. You should make sure that that's turned off before you come on,
Yeah.
So, anyway. Hello, everybody. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. I feel real sorry our president is sick. It's a thing called Venus something. Venus flytrap, I think it's called. Wait a minute.
That's his tongue.
Huh?
That's on his tongue.
Let's see here. Maybe the Drudge Report will have. Let's see here. Downloads. Let's see. Drawing a naked woman. Ghislaine's birthday surprise. It's fake. Lawsuit threat. Where is it? Would you believe it? That on, what do you call it? On Drudge, there's nothing about his health problems.
Does it exist? Right?
Well, no, it's a thing called Venus something or another. I don't know.
It has to do with the veins in the leg.
It's the fact that the legs are not pumping the blood up to the rest of his body.
Right.
Which is not supposedly a common condition. I never heard of it,
Unfortunately, it's one of those things I'm used to. I've been doing it.
Oh, do you have that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And how does it affect you?
It hurts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But effectively, it affects the, it's a clot. It seems like a clot, but it's not. But anyway, you can't get as much blood flow going for me on one leg versus the other one.
Right.
The other one works fine.
Yeah.
But I had a stroke, so one leg is a little...
You think that was caused by the stroke?
Yes.
So could his have been caused by a stroke and he never knew he had it? No. No. Okay.
Yeah.
We couldn't be so lucky.
Yeah.
I do you wish? Why do you, you know, when you wish somebody ill health, okay, you're really doing something that could come back to haunt you. You know, no matter how terrible the person is. Like, I don't wish ill health on Trump. Okay?
Not this day.
No, I don't. Period. You know, it's just not, and I don't wish ill health on anybody.
Okay.
Not that he probably doesn't wish ill health on people himself, and now it's getting even with him, but, you know, it's just got to be nicer than that.
Okay. You know, I'm sorry, Donald. Next time I'll vote for you.
No, that's not the point. Not that your vote would make much difference, but anyway. Is that sugar Coca-Cola?
Yeah, it's my first one. I don't drink a lot of soft drinks. It's my first one in probably a month.
Well, you know, they have Coca-Cola Zero, which has no sugar in it, tastes just the same as regular Coca-Cola, and it might be good for you.
Yeah, but they got to sweeten it with an artificial sweetener, which is not good for you.
No, it is. The artificial sweeteners they're using are not the dangerous artificial sweeteners. It's okay. One of the ones that's made from...
I didn't buy the Coke. My roommate bought it before it went to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway... Hello to our good friend Josh. How are you doing, Josh?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And any thoughts about the president's ill health?
I think that's something a fair number of people get. Men, I think, get it a lot. Older men, I believe, it's fairly common.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, not like, you know, like a epidemic or anything, but I don't think that it's all that uncommon. I think, isn't that the one you see a lot of people wearing, like the medical type socks?
And compression socks. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, to try to increase the circulation and things like that. So, I've had some people in my family.
I kind of wear compression socks. I wear Bombas. Which are compression socks.
I had a grandfather that had it, and my dad has it real bad. They have his legs wrapped in this compression stuff all the time for it. So I'm sure I'll get it, but I mean,
it doesn't mean you're going to get it. Yeah, I don't know if it's inherited.
Well, it's been pretty common in my family, and I can already tell. I mean, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, I noticed, you know, I 7 or 8 times, you know, since he took office, you know, I would have the television on. And, you know, C-SPAN will cut to, like, the airport or something if he stops to talk to the press.
Yeah.
They usually cut away from their... program they're in, and they will show his little 15 or 20 minute thing or whatever. So I've caught 7 or 8 of those, and each time, you know, if it wasn't like a huge, like big foreign trip or something like that, like he flew to, you know, Des Moines and he gave a speech or whatever and he's coming back. Every time that I've seen it, he always uses the little steps on Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
Like Biden started doing, the little steps to come down from the plane, not the big drive-up thing. And, you know, I've noticed it every time, how he made fun of Joe Biden for that. And then, you know, there he is using those little steps, you know.
Well, you know what else I noticed? Right. What else I notice about him, when he gets to the top of the steps before he goes down, he taps the rail 3 times.
Yeah.
And then he goes down. That's obsessive compulsive behavior. Because I have it. You know? And he does it all the time.
Yeah, but I saw 2 or 3 times that I was watching. I mean, I always noticed that he took the little steps, which, like I said, no one would ever say anything about. But two or three times I was watching, like I said, it doesn't get a lot of publicity, you know, because it wasn't like the big, you know, the big foreign trip to the G8 or something. But I noticed that even using the little steps, which is like 7 or 8 steps, I noticed that he looked a little, you know, like he was walking like he was old. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to
well,
be.
Well, I, when you know, I'm seeing just, him I just walk, noticed, okay, you know? I have neuropathy, okay? So I know what neuropathy entails. And I know when somebody has neuropathy, I see people walking, I go, I think he's got neuropathy. And when I've looked at Trump lately, I've said, I think he has neuropathy.
Well, that deal, you know, as far as I know with the circulation, all that is a similar type. You know, you don't have, you know, a great feeling. And as far as I know, I mean, like,
well,
I don't,
what happens,
have, but it's pretty common in the family.
What happens with neuropathy is you have your feet, your bottom of your feet are numb. Your feet are numb all the time. I think, I think probably, Kevin knows what I'm talking about. And your feet are
numb.
You got
everything you're talking about.
Yeah. Feet are numb. And then your legs kind of get numb. When your feet are not able to communicate with your brain, you have a bad sense of balance.
Yeah.
Am I right, Kevin, that you have that, right?
Yeah, I always described it to my doctor as somebody wrapped my feet with a bag of sand, and I'm walking in it.
Oh, really? Well, mine's not that bad.
That's
mine's,
what mine
mine's
feels
like I always have socks on.
The bottom of my feet feel like I've got cushions on them, and they're water.
Okay.
So I can stand somewhere and lose my balance real easy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Trump keeps complaining, as you say, about Joe Biden, you know, and his problems right. mentally and so on. And quite frankly, I think Trump is far worse off than he ever was. I think his brain is going, you know, so.
We're not supposed to talk negative about
no,
that.
No, I'm talking about, you know, him in general.
It's called chronic venous insufficiency.
Yes.
It's not the deep vein
thrombosis,
which is dangerous. That's the one clots usually end up in.
You know, I don't mind that he has an issue, you know. I mean,
he's
whatever.
He's not spring chicken, and he's not in great health.
Nothing to do with performance or whatever, but, you know, I'm only not really even joking when I don't appreciate the fact that people aren't asking, you know, we thought he was the healthiest guy ever. He had all this stamina. And
nobody's,
I mean,
saying,
I don't know how long it takes for this to show up. And I'm being, you know, the press should be asking. So he has it in July, but there was absolutely no problem in January when he was running for president.
Right.
Was he having no symptoms? Did he tell a doctor? Did a doctor examine him? Is there a record of this examination?
Did he have an examination? Did we ask about his health,
and you said he was the most healthiest man in the history of the world? Did you know about this then? Was that a lot? I mean, I think they should just ask and ask.
Kevin?
Right, because he did have an examination, and he came out just fine, accordingly.
Right, so.
But that's the same shit he did in 1.0.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I think it's all stupid nonsense, and none of it has anything to do with anything.
Well,
but that's what he does all the time, so
yeah,
that's what they should do.
They should be grabbing it and running with it.
I'll tell you something. I have trouble kind of sometimes remembering names, as you people know. And it's more profound recently. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, okay? But he tends to forget whole things that have happened in his life that he should remember. Now, Jerome Powell, who
like
is the head of the Fed, who's the head of the Fed, he said, I think it was yesterday, I don't know who appointed this guy, but he shouldn't have.
Yep, and it was him.
It was him.
It was him.
And he said it was Biden that appointed him.
No, it was Trump.
He does a lot of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean.
Well, it's easy for him to put the blame on everybody else.
Yeah.
He's gotten so used to doing it, he just does it naturally, and
he doesn't even
know he's doing it.
That's right.
Well, I've got something for us to talk about tonight that just came out a few hours ago, actually. And I know you're all aware of the problems over at CBS with the 60 Minutes thing and the fact that they paid the president $16 million in compensation, and that a lot of people at CBS are rather bothered by that, including some of the people who work for him, like Stephen Colbert. I watched him the other night. He said he wasn't that proud of the company he worked for because of what they did in paying out the $16 million, when everybody said they could have won it. There was no question. It was a frivolous lawsuit. And so it is very interesting, and I guess conspiracy theorists can start going crazy now. Colbert has been canceled.
Yep.
Really has. Does he add negative things to say about the parent company?
Nope. That's not, they didn't say that was that the was reason.
I just heard that on the news 15 minutes before your show.
Well, so. It was a money reason, they said.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. It's been canceled, and that's unfortunate.
Well, it's not a good show. I don't like Colbert, but it is only endemic of what's going on over at CBS. You know, this can't make them a happy company. Now, if they felt that it was costing them too much money, they certainly could downsize the show or do things like that that will make it cheaper, or go in and do a little austerity. But they didn't have they're canceling the whole show. There's going to be no late show anymore.
May next year, I think, is when the last one goes.
In May of 2026, yeah.
So when they paid the $16 million, he sued for a lot more than that.
Yeah, $2 billion.
This was a almost guaranteed win by CBS, Paramount, whoever it was.
Mm-hmm.
What you got to take into consideration, what they took into consideration was, if we go to court, how many millions of dollars will it tie up in, lawyers' costs and legal costs and stuff going to court for the next year and a half or 2 years to win the case?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if Trump loses the case, he could very well have to pay their legal fees.
Absolutely, but it's not a guarantee.
No, it is a guarantee. This was a lock, okay? This was the kind of a frivolous lawsuit that everybody, most people would fight.
Okay.
Saying that it was a terrible thing that they did, and that he was doing, and that it made no sense at all. I mean, if you looked at it, it just reeked of being a frivolous lawsuit. And they gave in because they want to get Skydance to buy them. Okay? And they don't want it to be put on hold. And now the FCC says, well, that's no guarantee that it isn't going to be put on hold. In spite of the fact they paid the $16 million. Now, this $16 million is a bribe. Plain and simple. That's all you can call it. Not probably. It is. It's a bribe. We'll give you your right to sell your company to this other company and get it through the FCC if you pay $16 million. What does that sound like to you? If it were a mobster, you'd say it was a bribe, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen with the Washington Post when they get their little article that they put out? Was it today? Yeah. About the birthday card?
What birthday card? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, the birthday card between Epstein and Trump, where it was a drawing of a naked woman, younger naked woman, and it said Donald as the pubic hair. And it said stuff like, I forgot what it was. It was something like, anyway, ended with our dirty little secrets. It's fun having our secrets. And it was from Epstein to Trump for his 50th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's Washington Post is either going to produce it or did today.
I'm sorry, I'm looking. Did you call this Coke Zero, the stuff that has no sugar?
Yeah.
Coke Zero has aspartame in it.
No, it doesn't.
I'm reading it right from the Coca-Cola website.
Well, I've never known it to have aspartame in recent times. It was using, what's that, stevia.
Right.
Does it say stevia?
Stevia would have been good.
Did it say stevia there?
No, it's using aspartame and potassium, something or rather called, also known as ACE-K.
Now, that's not Diet Coke has aspartame.
Yeah, and so does Coke Zero, apparently.
Hmm. Well, I didn't.
Anyhow.
Anyway, thanks for changing the subject.
No, I'll go back to it. I just was.
Yeah, I don't know where we left off. Anybody? Before he brought the whole thing to a grinding halt? Yes, Jeff.
I think one of the problems that was going on here was financial stuff, that they were not making a lot of money on this.
They were. That show, the show itself, had high ratings. It had high numbers.
Well, I know that, but the people who rent that place and pay the money.
Rent what place?
Yeah.
Whoever it was, when you get on the show.
Oh, when you advertise?
There's the advertisements.
Yeah.
The advertisers were dumping it.
No, they weren't.
Well, that's what I heard today.
Well, you know, you're going to hear all kinds of things. All I know is the show.
I can't tell you what.
Let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. The show was, in certain metrics, the number one show out of the three that are on that time of night. Okay? Number one. But it isn't number one, say, in some of the other metrics, like, you know, 18 to 25 or something like that. But he had good numbers, and they were making money off that show. And if they didn't feel they were making enough money off that show, then they should have cut back on its budget. And there have been a lot of other ways to handle this situation short of getting rid of the whole show and getting rid of late night. Late night has been, even when Letterman never beat out Leno, okay? But Letterman made a fortune for that network. And it's because advertisers liked Letterman, you know? So, you know, I mean, I can't believe that it was necessarily a money thing. It might be it cost them too much, you know, and that they should have cut back. It could have been that Colbert went in and for a new contract was asking for a ton more money. That could be, too. Could be his fault, you know. But the fact of the matter is, it's a little stinky, and it's a little suspicious that given the whole CBS drama that's been going on, that they should choose at this time to get rid of Colbert. If I were them, I would have waited maybe 2 years and then canceled it, but not done it right now in the middle of all of this. It just doesn't make you look good.
I'd correct myself. Wall Street Journal.
Hold on a second. Wall Street Journal what?
The birthday card from Trump to Epstein.
Oh, okay. Wall Street Journal. Better yet, that's Rupert Murdoch. Yes, Josh.
Well, I'm sure they could afford to keep the program going. I mean, this is the same network that pays Tony Romo $25 million a year to commentate one football game a week, and you know, I mean, pays, you know, money for other things similar to that. I mean, they have enough financial resources. I mean, I don't know why they made the decision, you know, in the end, what the backroom talk was. But, I mean, I think Paramount, you know, can afford it.
What idiot at CBS thought this was a good time to do it? That's the problem.
Right. I mean, probably the same person that agrees to pay, you know, Anderson Cooper $10 million a year to interview celebrities for 60 minutes and pretend like he's a newsman once a week for 20 minutes and waste our time interviewing people that don't have anything to do with the fucking news, like Prince Harry or something. You know, same guy. You know,
so. Well, you know,
so I'm saying these networks are not necessarily, just because, we've said this before, just because someone runs a big business or just because someone runs a network doesn't mean
they know what they're doing.
Excluded from being an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I think Sherry Redstone was an idiot.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think Sherry Redstone should have said to herself, you know, this is something we can't put up with. we can't be, you know, we can't be, you know, held up like this. Highway robbery, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about it. I heard a long interview one time for the guy that wrote a book on a book program. I know that her father or whatever, what was his name? The old guy, Redstone Paul or whatever. Yeah. You know, I know there was this huge, like, internal family battle about who would control all of that, you know, when he died, and
I don't think he particularly wanted her to have it, did he?
I don't think so either, if I remember. And this has been like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, that I listened to this interview about it. But I don't know. Whoever wrote it was like someone who writes about politics a lot, because he got into it through that, because, you know, they were involved a lot with it, you know, because of their news side and their political commentary and all, you know, CBS News and all that. But I don't remember, but I'm sure I could find it. But yeah, the family was like fighting a lot, and they spent a lot of money fighting each other, like their own personal money and stuff like that. So there's obviously disagreement even within the people that run, you know, CBS Paramount about how they should run it, you know. So I think it probably has more to do with that, like I said, than it does money. I mean, like I said, this is the same network that between, again, Anderson Cooper and Tony Romo, they spend like $45 million a year, you know, for two people who are on the air one day a week. So, I mean, you know, I mean, they spend $50 million in salary for people who are on Sunday.
They assume that Tony Roma is making them a lot of money because he is involved in sports.
Right.
Okay. The fact of the matter is that they may have the notion, oh, we make a fortune on sports. Tony Roma's got to get this much money. But they don't know that Tony Roma is making them that money. You know, just Tony Roma had a good agent who walked in and said, we're leaving if you want to lose all that money. You know, I mean, nobody said these guys who are heading up these networks have any brains. Okay.
But, you know, I have to say one thing, though. Madden was a big draw for them. Romo is a good announcer, I feel, really. He analyzes the game very well. He comes with
it. They get a team and they spend money on it. I mean, it works for them. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying I think they do have resources, you know. But maybe because of that, they have gotten themselves in some financial trouble internally that we don't really know about. And maybe that is what led to it, I guess. You know.
Well, I think somebody didn't like Colbert, who felt that he couldn't. When I watched Colbert the other night, I don't watch him that often. He went after CBS for what they did. He said, I came back from vacation. I found out our network had allowed themselves to be held up for $16 million. Mm-hmm. And then he told the whole story. And then he said, you know, I can't say I feel as proud about being at CBS as I was before I went on vacation, because this isn't what you do to your news division. And so he said that. Isn't it amazing that two nights later they make the announcement that he's not being renewed?
And I combine that with the fact that, you know, when I read the headline, I kind of thought to myself, you know, the little subheadline said that it was going to mark their exit from the late night game, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, they don't want to have late night comedies now, because every opening monologue every night makes fun of Trump. And they don't want to have to deal with that.
Well, also,
they just want to take their ball and go home and not make any waves.
Also, it doesn't mean they're not going to present something in that time slot like they used to have, you know, crime time and prime, whatever they called it, where they would run some of their mystery shows a block, you know, at that time of night. But for the last 30 years, they have had that slot. And with Letterman especially, it was lauded. You know, it was a great deal for them.
Yeah, I just figured they were getting out because, you know, they don't want to have someone on there every night who every night is the potential to say something that'll make, you know, him go
make Trump mad.
Yeah, cry, you know, and they just don't want to deal with it. You know.
However, However, I'm sure that Stephen Colbert, when he was president, made fun of Biden, you know, every night. You know? So, yeah. I mean, because that's what a late night host does. You know? So, you know, we'll just give the late night.
He's working the media. You know, he's working the media the way he wants to, and he's getting it. He's doing it. That's the way Hitler did it, right?
Well, he's suing Rupert Murdoch now, too, Alex, I just read.
Was he doing what?
He's suing Rupert Murdoch, the Wall Street Journal.
I think your microphone's a little loud.
Kevin just said that a few minutes ago.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's taking advantage of his understanding that they want to make money more than they are worried about, you know, anything else. News programming, you know, facts, you know, I mean, any of that, you know, informing the public, responsibility, you know, all that's a bunch of crap, right? So, I mean, he knows that all they want to do is make money. And if he starts, you know, no other president would really could do the same thing, but never would because they have, you know, a little bit of integrity and it's just not worth their time. They just want to go do their job as president. But he wants to, you know, get in the sandbox and have the hissy fit every time he can't play with the toys. So that's what he spends his day doing, is arguing about things like that. And they don't want to be on TV arguing with him every day. They just say, why do that? Let's just put on another soap opera that don't have anything to do with that. And we'll make sure there's no men kissing in it or anything that'll make anybody mad. And we'll sell lawnmowers on commercials and we'll make money.
Well, in a moment, I want to bring up another subject that is kind of in that whole category. And that is that, but we'll get to that in a second. This article I'm just seeing on Drudge says that he and the broadcast will be remembered for Pantheon. This is a purely financial decision against a challenging backdrop in late night. What's the challenging backdrop? You know? It is not related in any way to the show's performance, content, or other matters happening at Paramount. You know, what else are they going to say? Right?
CYA.
Huh? Right?
CYA.
Yeah. It says, Colbert, who informed of the network's decision Wednesday evening, according to a person familiar with the matter, told the audience at the taping on Thursday's broadcast about the matter. I watched it. I saw it. You can get it on YouTube. It's a fantastic job. I wish somebody else were getting it equipped. While offering thanks to CBS executives for the 200 or so staffers and the 200 or so staffers that work at his show. He's being far too kind, and I think, I don't know, as time goes on, I think he's going to be less kind. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't just dump him early. No, because a lot of stations, you know, when you're let go from an organization and you're doing a talk show, and I know this from experience, they have you leave that day because they're afraid you're going to go on the air and say nasty things about them. To Sirius XM's, credit, they, when they let me go, said, you can have the next week to finish off. We trust that you will do it right. And they let me spend a week so I could say goodbye to everybody. I mean, how many times have you seen somebody not doing a radio program anymore, a TV program anymore? You go, what happened to them? They never had a chance to say goodbye, you know, whatever. So now they've got, I don't know even why they're keeping them on for the next year. If they want to save money, starting today, because the staff isn't on, doesn't have contracts, you know. Anyway. The other thing in all of this is that the Congress has voted to take away, what is it, $12 billion from PBS and NPR?
Cut them down.
Yeah, he's cutting down the public. Yep.
Well, that isn't cutting down. That's almost taking every penny away from them. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
They're still working on it now. I mean, it's like a almost nine or ten billion among, you know, NPR, PBS, and then also a portion of that is also foreign aid that goes to like immigration, like refugee programs and things like that here, and then some of the foreign aid that was to be distributed by the USAID agency that they don't really have anymore because they kicked them out. So it's a combination of all those things, but the money that goes to NPR and PBS is pretty, I don't know how much of that it is. It's not the whole $10 billion, but whatever amount goes to them, it's a lot of the organization's operating budget, you know, so... they seem to have this idea that like let's say NPR gets, you know, PBS gets $1 billion, that like it goes to like PBS's like headquarters and then they divvy it up and they keep it and all that. Really, it goes out to all the individual stations, you know? Mm-hmm. So they're just hurting like the individual, you know, stations that might have to not be on air as
well. It looks like, I mean, it looks like it may have a big problem. What do you call it? It's going to have a big problem. NPR. A lot of money being taken away from there.
And I enjoy PBS. I watch a lot of news on there because it's, you know, you get really good news. They're not so...
Well, I think the value of it being there is that they supply a real purpose for existence. I mean, I don't watch them that often. You know, I'll watch them when there's, oh, I don't know, the last thing I really watched was Ken Burns's Buffalo, you know. But nevertheless, it's important that they exist. I mean, for years they had Sesame Street on there. They have a lot of kids programming, you know.
You know, I was going to tell you, Alex, I was going to tell you, funny, we're talking about the media. When I, in my area in Queens, I told Mr. Shetland when we first got together, in my area in Queens, we never had cable because they never came into blind the streets with the cable and stuff. So me and my brother bought a big satellite dish on the roof. And I was able to pull in stuff from Canada and overseas, the news. I would actually get a kick watching CBC and the overseas rather than my news. Because you'd see a different perspective of the country.
Yeah. Do you know how to turn down your audio?
I could go into my thing. Why, am I loud?
Yeah, you're really loud. You're over-modulating.
Okay. I really don't have a mic, so I'll look at my settings.
That's weird, because it doesn't sound bad here.
Yeah, I was just going to say it doesn't.
Oh, okay. If it doesn't sound bad out there, then it won't sound bad, you know.
Wherever. Maybe because he's close to you in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
He's outside your door.
Yeah, but yep. I just think it's terrible. I think it's horrible. Now maybe they can make it up for it by asking the public, please, you know, don't let this go away, and you know, endless pledge drives and crap like that.
I don't. When you get the pot, then you get.
But I'll tell you something. If they want my money, I'm not giving it to them, and I'll tell you why.
Right.
A couple of months ago, it was time for me to renew. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I renewed. Now, somehow, to begin with, they don't have any kind of coordination about renewals between the people who send out renewal slips in the mail and those who have you renew online. So I renewed online, okay? And I thought I made a mistake, so I just went through the process a second time because it didn't seem to look like it went through. And I gave them $100. It turns out I gave them $200. So I wrote them, and I said, here's what happened. I'd like $100 credited, okay, and $100 back for my credit card. I never heard from them.
Oh, shit.
Well, you think I'm going to send you any money to save your ass now? You're nuts.
Who is that?
PBS. Channel 13 here in New York.
Okay. I was going to say, usually Sarbanes-Oxley would catch that and send it back to you.
No, no. They apparently, they don't have any of that over.
Yeah, probably because they're nonprofit. And all
yeah, and they want to get every buck they can. So if you give them extra money by mistake,
you suck.
And I wrote them. I said, send it to me. You want more money from me next year? You know, you want me to renew? And then I get a thing in the mail. That was like 2 months ago. I get a thing in the mail. Your renewal is almost expiring.
Okay. Well, tell them I paid double last year.
Well, I mean, what? You're sending me a thing that you want me to then also do it now when you say it's expired? It hasn't expired. You know, it's ridiculous. So they're not, if they think they're getting any money out of me, they're not. Okay? But I still feel that the government should help take care of this. Because it is something that is, that we always have kind of supported as part of our nation. And I'm really sad, about that. So
I read a book on the history of the Children's Television Network and how they had to actually pitch it to PBS in the late 60s. It was very interesting.
What?
How they did it.
You mean the Children's Television Workshop?
Yeah, how they had it. Yeah, workshop. How they had the pitch to 13 with the idea and the concept.
No, here's the whole thing of how. Very interesting thing, by the way.
It was really good, yeah.
What's her? Ann Cooney? I can't remember her name.
It was a lady's name. One lady was involved and a couple of other people.
Yeah, but here was the thing. They came up with a great idea. We'll do this show called Sesame Street. It's going to have puppets, and it's going to teach kids how to do stuff. And guess what? We're giving it free to PBS. Well, how does that work exactly? Well, they said, but you don't get the rights to any books, toys, ancillary items and so on, and that's why you saw that Sesame Street was being merchandised everywhere because that's the way they made money to do the show.
And now it's in the book.
That's how they got it for nothing.
And in the book, in the inner city of say in Harlem and other areas back in the day, they did research, the lady, that a lot of these kids didn't have televisions in the house. So they were setting up libraries with TVs and bringing the kids in to watch it so they can all be exposed to the learning experience. It was really nice, actually. Back, you can see these
people. It was a great idea, and it gave PBS a show that they couldn't afford to do themselves.
Yeah. Okay. And I love Jim Henson.
By the way, Children's Television Workshop's worth a fortune.
How much did they worth, Alex, if you had a guess?
I have no idea. I do know that what they do is they're not on PBS anymore. I think
no,
they went
to HBO, right?
They went to HBO, and now I think they're actually on Netflix.
Wow, I got to check that out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where they are now because I'm not a kid and I don't care. Yeah.
I actually still would try to watch on YouTube the original episodes and see if. And sometimes I remember some of the skits when they did it as a kid. You can remember, like, it kind of triggers it, like, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But, I just feel that what Trump is doing to this nation, it's horrible. We're going to be a third world nation before he gets finished with us. And ready for this? There's still 3.5 years left.
Do you think he's going to make it, Alex, 3.5 years, guys?
I don't know if he's going to make it, but then who do we get?
J.D. This is not going to be good. Everything that's good, he tries to screw with you.
He could drop dead tomorrow and nothing would change. I'm telling you that right now because there's somebody else calling the show. Yeah, excuse me a second. Do you agree? Would you agree with me on this, Josh, that there may be someone else calling the shots and pulling the strings?
Stephen Miller.
Not really. I mean, Trump was out there, you know.
Oh, come on. Be paranoid with me for crying out loud.
The puppet man behind the screen.
Yeah. Was somebody going to say something here? Yes. Yes, Alan.
You know, to me, the difference between Trump and Vance is Trump thinks he's smart. Vance is smart.
No, Vance isn't smart. You kidding me?
Everybody else in the world agrees.
He's a fucking hillbilly.
Well, yeah, well, you know better than that. You know he went to college and stuff.
All right, that doesn't mean you're smart.
But just because you went to college doesn't mean you're smart.
Started a business, became a congressman.
Trump went to college.
Yeah, but that college was provided by Coca-Cola or something.
No, it was Wharton.
Wharton, yeah, that's not Coke.
I know.
One of the best financial institutions in the country.
No, he didn't do his work. There's no way.
What?
And it shows the way he does business. Who's ever heard of a major casino going out of business?
They go out of business, but you know, Trump's been out of business too many times.
That's right.
You know, and he's trying to run this country like a business, and since he's not very good at it, we're in a lot of trouble. You know, I mean, the stock market's back up again today. That's wonderful, but that's not the measure of everything. The most important measure to me is what's the quality of life for the average American. Not for the wealthy American, not for the American that has stocks, but the American. You know, so.
Because most of these people that are struggling, they can't afford to put anything in the market because they don't have any money after they pay their bills.
Most people aren't invested in the market.
No, they think they got the money.
You know, I was never crazy about the market, to tell you the damn truth. And now I'm in it. You know,
I like it. I've always liked it. Yeah,
you've always liked it.
Yeah, I
can't remember. Do they deal in comic books?
No, but I sell the comic and then I'll dump it into something. When I saw Jackie that.
Yeah,
he used to laugh at that. He says, "You're not that stupid."
Yeah, but anyway, so we got the CBS thing, we got the PBS thing. It's ongoing. It's never ending. Josh, I mean, what do you think of the whole PBS deal? I mean, do you think it's justified that they don't want to give them that money?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a public broadcasting system, you know. It serves a purpose. It's had a long-standing tradition. It's just another organization. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to want to be able to work within the part of the government that's supposed to be involved. So they, you know, rather than joining on the process and, you know, try to work to get programming on there or whatever, or work for NPR and things like that, they just want to do away with it. I don't really know. I'm sure they would give a bunch of examples and everything if you asked. I don't know what their issue is, really. I mean, I've never turned on PBS and saw anything that I thought was, like, even attached to politics. It's always been you know, some kind of a show or, like, a... I mean, they have their news hour, which is, like, the driest news ever. I mean, right? So that's... I mean, nothing... And then, like, every time I always turn it on, it's like, you know, like antique shows and house fixing shows and all that. So I don't really
know. Cooking shows, kids shows.
Like, I don't really know what, like, stuff they're talking about that it's all, like, woke.
If you want to talk about anything that comes close to that, you might say that Frontline, for instance.
That's good. Yeah, I like Frontline.
And I don't listen to a ton of NPR, but. I mean, they used to have, like Sirius Radio has, like, the national NPR feed, which broadcast a couple shows a day from some of their bigger stations, you know, and I never really noticed anything on there. I mean, they talk a fair amount of politics, but they always did it in a way where, you know, they would have people on from, like, both parties and stuff, you know, like... If you were to listen, you know, like Diane Rehm would always have people on, or that show that they do out of San Francisco every day. I mean, even though it comes out of San Francisco, they would always have, you know, Republican congressman so-and-so from Texas or whatever on there. I mean, I never noticed anything that, you know, I mean, I never turned NPR or PBS on, and 5 minutes after I had it on, I was like, "Wow! Like I'm ashamed to be a white American." You know, I don't know what they're talking about, really. Now, like I said, I'm sure someone out there would be more than happy to be like, oh, they did this program and it said this. No, okay. I didn't see it, but I mean, the same, I mean, these are the big champions of like free speech, and the more restrictions you make, the less freedoms you have. And all, I mean, this was their big thing for like 30 years now, right? And now all of a sudden they want to control, you know, what anyone can say and when they can say it and who they can say it about. Or,
well, you know, C-SPAN, how are they financed? Are they government financed?
No, they've never taken one penny of the government's money ever, and they never will.
How do they finance themselves? How do they pay the freight?
They're paid for by the cable companies and the carriers that you watch them on pay for them.
Yeah.
As well as money that they make now from advertising. They do light advertisements, like on their website, like it's similar to YouTube, where you might have to watch like a 10-second ad or something first.
Aren't they sponsored?
They never do any of that before the internet forced people off of cable and satellite. When they were pure cable and satellite,
mm-hmm.
they used to never have any ads or anything at all. But as more people have left cable and satellite for the internet, not all of those people carry C-SPAN, so they're not getting as much money as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So to make up for it, they now have, they won't take government money, but what they do is they have some advertisement on like their podcast on their TV channel in between programs. Like I said, these are like 10-second ads. Stuff like that, and then they do take donations now. They formed a wing that takes donations, and they also have like a store where you can buy stuff or whatever. I don't know how much money they make off of that, but
yeah.
So they have several revenue streams now, but no, they're not affiliated with the U.S. government at all.
Okay, all right, that's good.
Yeah, they can't do anything about that, right?
Yeah, so that, you know, I guess PBS makes itself vulnerable by taking government money. You know.
Yeah, but, right. I mean, you know, but the whole point of PBS is, you know, and it's still kind of the same way, is there were just so many areas of the country that don't have any local programming whatsoever. And my local PBS station or your local or someone else's, yes, it carries, you know, those five or six big, you know, sort of syndicated type shows every day, their news hour, you know, like I said, the Antiques Roadshow and all that. But they have all these other areas of the day that they fill, and then they would fill those with like local issue programming. You know, they would do a little thing at state parks or, you know, just local council things and all that.
No one can afford
to do that, so they get government money.
I used to have an argument with Channel 9 in San Francisco, who I was constantly battling with. In fact, I ran for the board of directors at one point. Because I felt, my argument was that, yes, you don't have commercials, but you do have pledge weeks and pledge drives. How many hours, how many minutes are taken up by pledge drives that maybe could be taken up if you just wanted to play commercials? You know, I mean, I never saw the theory in that, that a pledge drive wasn't like advertising. It wasn't anything that takes up your broadcast time certainly is interrupting it that way, you know? So.
Yeah, so I don't really know what happens with these networks. I mean, they get some government money. All it really does is help, like, their operations.
What about PBS taking ads?
They do show commercials on PBS.
No, they show, you know, the following program is being brought to you by you know.
I'm pretty sure my local PBS has some ads.
Well, they're not really ads. This is being brought to you by such and such insurance.
Sponsorship.
Yeah, serving America, blah, blah, blah.
And they might.
But they don't. They don't run an actual ad. I'm talking about, and just not running as many as a network would run or whatever, but just a limited amount of advertising to pay for it, and then say to a guy like Trump and like the government, go screw yourself. We don't need you. You know? And all these advertisers who advertise on PBS will feel that they're doing a double thing. Number one, they're selling their product, and secondly, they're kind of looking good. You know? Because they're supporting this wonderful thing.
I mean, hopefully they don't get in trouble, you know. I mean, hopefully. I mean, you know, I know that, like, you know, some cable or internet-based stuff doesn't carry as much of it anymore. Like I said, like, YouTube TV, they don't carry C-SPAN. I don't know if you get your local PBS station on those or not. I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, so some of these types of public affairs style networks were already sort of in trouble. I mean, I just see it as a larger issue that the modern day Republican Party, we can't call it conservative or anything like that, but the modern day Republican Party doesn't like public information, right? I mean, they want to control the flow of all information and all narratives at all times. You know, they're anti-freedom.
Against the truth. They just believe it's their truth that should be out
there. But I'm just saying they're anti-freedom. I mean, you know, this type of activity, you know, supposedly in the Newt Gingrich age would have been, you know, what they accused Democrats of wanting to do all the time. You know, I mean, it would have been, you know, pure craziness. You know, it's harnessing or you know, not harness, pulling back on, you know, freedom that the, you know, networks and things like that have to produce programming the way they want. You know, I mean, it's not really all that much difference than the whole 60 Minutes issue. You know, right? We'll pay you $15 million so that you'll leave us alone. I mean, 60 Minutes was not obligated to do anything. You know, they could have ran a segment saying that Donald Trump was the worst person to be president of the United States ever if they had wanted to. And that's not against the law.
No, it's not.
Now, I mean, as long as they didn't go on there with no evidence and say that he, you know, raped underage girls or something, that's, different. But no.
There's one thing I wanted to bring up tonight, but I didn't, and we should do it. Somebody remind me tomorrow night in case I forget, because at least two people here are familiar with the situation, is this desire that Trump has to have the government buy Alcatraz and make it and reinstitute it as a prison, which is the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. I mean, how many people do you think?
I went there when I was there.
How many people do you think Alcatraz held?
I went there, Alex. It didn't look like a big prison.
That's not the point. I asked a 200. Question. Oh. Didn't you learn 200. Anything when you went there? No.
I just like looking at the cells.
300.
Yeah, I knew it was a low number.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just amazed, you know, that
she was out here today, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about it tomorrow because it's just such a stupid idea. And everything I've known about Alcatraz over the years, I've been there. It's a mess. It's not just a fixer-upper, you know. I'll tell you about it tomorrow night. Anyway, I want to thank you all for being here. Mm-hmm. Jeff, nice of you to show up tonight.
Yeah.
And Josh, of course, always good having you here. Alan, thank you so much for your input on the program. Kevin, nice of you to be here. And Tony, always kind of a pleasure. You know, it's nice having you here. You know?
Thank you.
Anyway, everybody, give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you, okay? There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. We're going to be turning this over now to Amy Emanuel, who's going to be taking your calls also on Zoom. If you want to find out how to get to her on Zoom, you simply go over to gabnet.net third column down, you'll see Alex Bennett. Below that, Amy Manuel. Click on that. It'll take you to her Zoom address. We'll see you again tomorrow night for our Friday edition. Same time, same station in life. In the meantime, if you see her, of course, tell her I love her, okay? Bye-bye.